Outside this church, there's a plaque which states that we welcome all who wish to worship in a spirit of freedom, reason, and tolerance. The words describe the philosophy of Unitarianism without any equivocation. I'm not sure how old the plaque is, but I imagine if it were erected today, it would also include the word love. After all, love is central to our ethos. Love is the doctrine of this church. The quest for truth is its sacrament. So we stand for love, freedom, reason, and tolerance. And in times of chaos and war, these words, these principles, can comfort and inspire us. But they can also raise some questions for us. I will start with the central one, love. Last November, my partner and I hosted in our home a Kurdish writer called Ilhan Sami Çomak and his partner İpek Özel for a few days. İlhan is a poet who at the age of 23 was tortured and jailed in a Turkish prison. He had always declared his innocence, but he remained in that jail for 30 years. He was only released in 2024. Remarkably, during that time, he had 8 books of poetry, a play, and an autobiography published. The writers' organization, Irish Pen, Pen na hÉireann, of which I'm a member, had campaigned for years for his release. So last year, we invited him over to speak at the Dublin Book Festival. İlhan has hardly any English at all, but İpek is his interpreter, as well as his partner, translator, and even former prison visitor. And her English is perfect. It was great for us to be in their company, and they certainly enjoyed their time here. One evening, over dinner, İpek asked me how often my partner and I say we love each other. Oh, very often, I said, about every 7 years. And we all laughed. But when we do say it, said my partner, it is invaluable. When it comes to loving someone close to them, psychologists will say that people find different ways of expressing their love, by using words, or by their actions, or by giving presents, or sometimes all three. In our case, love is expressed by acts of kindness and thoughtfulness. But we wouldn't dream of ending our phone calls, as many young people do, with the words, love you. Back to poet İlhan. He's an extraordinary person, gentle, humorous, and calm. Someone asked him how come he was so serene, and his answer was simple. Because I have seen so much violence. Torture and repression were a constant in his life. And when the political prisoners in his prison protested against their conditions, 40 of them were killed by the soldiers. It was an honor for all of us when İlhan and İpek were received by the then president, Michael D. Higgins, at the Oras. İlhan presented the president with 2 of his books, whereupon Michael D. presented him with 5 of his. The president's parting words to İlhan were, we poets must write new poems for these terrible times. After we left the Oras, İlhan was on a high. It was the first time in his life, he said, when the state had not been hostile to him. Ilhan and Ipek's visit came to an end all too quickly. It was such a pleasure to get to know them over the short time we had together. I drove Ilhan and Ipek to the airport and we said goodbye. We hugged. And then to my astonishment, Ilhan said to me in English, "I love you." It was not a declaration of romantic love, but of something bigger. It was a statement of a universal love. In that moment, I understood that love transcends all boundaries, whether they are generational, social, national, local, racial, linguistic, political, or cultural. All the boundaries that are designed to separate us simply evaporate into thin air when we love. Love, the Bible says, is patient and kind. It does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Now, this is a high bar for us to reach, but at least we can depend on love to make worthwhile the effort of trying to achieve that goal. It's only, I suggest, when it comes to the other three principles, freedom, reason, and tolerance, that things become complicated. Unlike love, they have their limitations. They are open to abuse. For example, freedom means different things to different people. In the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights, Article 1 states that all human beings are born free and equal in dignity and rights. 29 freedoms are then outlined in all. But Article 30 outlines an important caveat. It states, "Nothing in this declaration may be interpreted as implying for any state, group, or person any right in any activity aimed at the destruction of any of the rights and freedoms set forth herein." And this is an important safeguard, particularly in today's world, when the idea of one's individual liberty is used as a weapon to deny the rights of others. For ultra-libertarians, freedom is the catch cry for laissez-faire economics, small government, low taxes, privatization of public services, and a curtailment of regulation and of workers' rights. The misuse of social media has further exacerbated the abuse of free speech. Very often, we can no longer tell what is true and what is propaganda. But as the creator of the word doublethink, the writer George Orwell wrote, "However much you deny the truth goes on existing." I mentioned the Penn organization already. It was set up to promote the freedom to write 100 years ago. But recently, here in Ireland, we've had to define our goal further. We now stand for the promotion of the responsible freedom to write. But regardless, we continue to support writers who face persecution across the world and for whom freedom, responsible or not, is an impossible dream. Excuse me. In his prison cell, the Kurdish poet I mentioned earlier, Ilhan Sami Çomak, wrote a poem about what freedom, or the lack of it, meant to him. And I quote, "Still I piece all that I miss into a single picture, into that wounded bird called freedom. I must do it, so I won't forget. Life is severe, defiant, and all walled because I'm here. I say, the blossoms of the first cherry tree breaking into air, how do they smell? Can you tell me this? And what the color is? I seem to have forgotten." Now we come to reason, the power of the mind to think, understand, and form judgments logically. Historically, the thinkers of the Enlightenment, Unitarians included, embraced reason as a bulwark against superstition and against fanaticism. But since then, it is argued that these thinkers, in fact, elevated reason into a new kind of faith, an absolute faith in science and mathematics. The journalist Joe Humphreys in the Irish Times, in a recent Irish Times column, gives an example of the limits of reason when he writes, "It has been inspiring to see Irish school communities showing solidarity with students facing deportation. A hard-nosed, rational approach states that rules are rules, but the rational answer isn't always the right one." End of quote. Acts of courage, as we've seen in the passive resistance against ICE agents by the people in Minneapolis, who use singing to make their point, are not always purely rational, but they can be effective. In 1912, when women textile workers went on strike in Lawrence, Massachusetts, they demanded not just bread, but roses too. They were striking for decent wages, but they were also striking for beauty and fairness in life. When Jewish and Arab mothers linked arms and walked barefoot for peace through the streets of Rome, as they did recently, their action transcends reason. In the same way, in 1976, Catholic and Protestant women linked arms and marched for peace along the streets of Belfast. Oops. A theologian, who I quoted earlier on for the children, Reinhold Niebuhr, said, "Nothing which is true or beautiful or good makes complete sense in any immediate context of history, so we must be saved by faith." Now, he meant faith in God, but faith in humanity is just as valid in terms of his statement. Which brings us on a natural segue to tolerance. Who could possibly question the idea of tolerance? Well, the philosopher Karl Popper did when he wrote about the paradox of tolerance. He said, and I quote, "Unlimited tolerance must lead to a disappearance of tolerance. If we extend unlimited tolerance even to those who are intolerant, if we are not prepared to defend a tolerant society against the onslaught of the intolerant, then the tolerant will be destroyed and tolerance with them." Tolerance is an important virtue nonetheless. Any community based on tolerance is one that accepts difference and promotes peaceful coexistence. Such a community has legal safeguards against xenophobia and hatred. Our primitive instinct to fear the other is transcended by a desire for collective harmony. All the same, if Ilhan had said to me, I tolerate you rather than I love you, I think I probably would have been offended. For me, tolerance is only a baseline. It's the rule by which we interact with one another. To enrich our lives, we can go further, to dig deeper, to understand others, at times to forgive others and be forgiven by them. A poem by Christine Daniels begins, "We remember the Mahatma, not because of what he said, but what he did. Tolerance is not you standing on a mountain, banging your chest, proclaiming to the world, I am tolerant. That is aggressive arrogance. Tolerance is lived in our lives every day. How tolerant will I be today?" When I look around me, Ireland, I see an Ireland transformed since my childhood. As a country, we are rich beyond our parents' dreams, albeit in a society that is not equal in many ways. Our prosperity and multiculturalism are interlinked. Amazon is an important element in our economy, but so is the work of the Filipino carer working in our health service. And that fact was brought home to me recently. During the 2 years of her severe illness, a friend of mine wanted and was enabled to live at home. After she died, her husband told me that during all that time, numerous HSC carers came in to help him to look after her. In total, he counted, they came from 15 different countries. "I could not have managed without them," he said, with tears in his eyes. None of us could manage without such people. They come here to our windy, wet island and make it their own. They give of themselves, and we are truly in their debt. So please don't get me wrong. As I believe, as I think we all do, in the great principles of freedom, reason, and tolerance. Without them, our society would be an authoritarian one. But I think that we need to be aware of their limitations, their vulnerability in a world where news manipulation, propaganda, and worse, have become weapons in the war against truth. So in a time of chaos and war, to paraphrase the Bible, these four remain: love, freedom, reason, and tolerance. But the greatest of these is love. Amen.